This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord, huh? Man, aren't you guys excited about what God's doing in your life and the people around you? Man, how many of you guys, God delivered you from drugs? Let me see your hands. God's delivered you from drugs. How many of you guys, God's delivered you from being an idiot? You were a complete idiot, but God delivered you from being an idiot. Yeah, heck yeah, man. Hey, whatever it is that you're going through, we're here to help you, and we can help you get out of it. You know, it's real easy when you're going through hell, don't stop. Man, don't be tapping the brakes. Don't be checking the scenery. Man, let's just, and the bottom line is this. The bottom line is God's called us to be a part of the force to rescue people from the poverty, the sickness, and the death that the world offers. So we just need to be who God's called us to be. And, you know, a part of that is God's called us to be strong. He really has. Strong in him and the power of his might. It's not by our might, it's not our abilities, but it's who he is in us. Do you guys understand this? And write this down. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Just write that down. And just think about that. And think about when you know, the enemy's shaking his fist in front of you regarding a circumstance or a situation in your life. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Greater is he who's in me, write that down, than he who's in the world. Man, it just is. It's interesting because there's people that come up, and I remember years ago, this guy comes up to me, he goes, "Sir, you baptized the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What, do you think you're better than me because you're?" I said, "Well, yeah, I do. We're better because we're Christians, right? We're better because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We're better because we're living God's promise, right?" Man, and that's the idea of this, is that it's not us, it's not me. Man, let me tell you, I outkick my coverage every single day. Man, this isn't something that we could say, well, man, I've got this under control. I got this, man, I'm telling you, I'm just hanging on for dear life. Anybody with me on that? Man, it's the breakneck speed, what God's got going on in our lives, that Tuesday nights are seven, Pastor Sandy, 7-on-7. Man, it's 7 speakers and 7 topics for 7 minutes, and it's just going to be amazing. How many girls are coming to the 7-on-7? Man, it's going to be packed with women in here, and I'm sure you'll have food and, you know, doilies and all kinds of other stuff. And then Thursday's the men's lunch, the power lunch. Any fellas in here going to come to the power lunch at noon on Thursday? You're out of here before 1 o'clock, and you overeat. It's comfort food, and you'll get challenged, and you'll meet some guys and maybe make some deals and have some fun. But that's, both those are on this property, and then next Sunday is our Barefoot Sunday, and I it's one of my favorite times of the whole year, where, you know, last year it was thousands, over 13,000 pairs of shoes that were donated to the distribution center, and we're still giving the remnants of those shoes. It's getting down, the amount of them, but we're still giving those shoes away every day, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to replenish it next week, but we're also taking an offering next week. It's our best gift offering, And I want you guys to know that as the pastor of this church, I'll do the fundraising that I'm responsible for, but I'll do it reluctantly. I don't want to make it a forte. I don't want to become great at it. I just want to give you an opportunity to give. And that's what this best gift offering is. There's our tithes, there's our offerings, and there's alms. And that best gift offering is like an alm. It's what we give to the poor. And the Bible says you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And we look at this, and do you understand, it has been a year since we had to talk about giving money to the distribution center, because what came in last year at the Barefoot Sunday surpassed what we needed. And I just want to let you guys know that distribution center is packed with goods. It'll be open after the service. If you've never been over there, it's right across the street. We got people that'll give you a tour of it and let you look at it. There's a thrift store in there. They're already getting the groceries ready for next week. But I'll just tell you this, that we rented the front part of the building, and for a few months I've been trying to buy the building, and they don't want to sell it. So I was in Jacksonville, Florida last week, and I was just praying, and the Lord kind of gave me a strategy, and I called the owners of the building and just said, "I want to meet with you." No brokers, no agents, no nothing, just me and you. And I gave them an offer for a lease for the whole building for 20 years. And they're considering it, going to look at it. And I'm telling you that because Friday, when I was at Friday Groceries, I And I'm telling you, you really need to go by there. Just walk by there, take 10 minutes and look at the distribution center, what God's doing in your church. But what hit me was, I was back visiting with Mike Sparkman, and I'm looking at these two new refrigerator units. One's a freezer, one's a refrigerator, walk-in models that are, they're just, it's just amazing. And the people that are serving and the amount of ministry that's going out and lives that are being lifted and changed. And he said, look what we just got. And he pulled a picture up on his phone, and it's this huge walk-in refrigerator, like the ones we have, but bigger. And he said, St. Francis Hospital just gave us this. And I said, Mike, where are we gonna put it? And he said, man, we're gonna put it right here on this wall. Would that have these 20-foot shelving units, is where it is. He said, we're gonna take these sections of the units and we're gonna move them down to the end. Down at the end, there's a bunch of goods that are stacked neatly down at the end, and canned goods and other things. And he's pointing that we're gonna move them. But these shelves aren't empty, they're full of stuff. And he's gonna move all this stuff. He said, then we're gonna put it right here. And I just thought, you know what? And then I met with that owner and just said, here's our offer. I think it's fair to you. I think it's fair. We'll be early to pay, and we'll be great tenants, and we'll change the world from here. And he said, man, we want you in here. And so I'm just telling you that as you pray, and I'm not asking you to pay, I'm just giving you the opportunity to give toward it, that as you text Guts Best in that number that you guys are better at than I am of figuring out how to do that, you text in that amount, that will you believe with me that all the money for that outreach next year comes in that offering? Will you guys believe God with me? Will you please? Because the Bible says we're two. I just need one solid person, okay? I just need one man right now just to stand and say, I will agree with you by faith in Jesus' name that's paid. Just one guy to stand right now. And then, okay, it's on us, okay? We're just gonna believe God. We're gonna believe God that whole thing's done, and we just take care of it. And really, honestly, it's that simple. That's how I live my life. I keep it super simple. But it's about getting stronger. And all of us have to get stronger. And that's what a move of God does for us in our lives. Did you know that? A move of God makes us stronger. And you could say, okay, man, how do you get strong physically? Man, you got to train. You got to eat right. You got to sleep right. You got to work out. How do you get strong? But listen, that the physical side of strength, there's a lid or there's a capacity that we can have that at a certain point, man, you can't do much more to get much stronger. You reach your capacity. Spiritually, that doesn't happen. Spiritually, there's no limits. There's no lid. There's no capacity to how strong you can be in the Lord. You could be as strong in the Lord. We can all be as strong in the Lord as we want to be. You should write that down because that's powerful. Man, there's no limit. You're as strong in God as you want to be. There's over 7,700 promises that are directly tied to my life in the Word. I could walk around fat, dumb, and happy and ignorant of them and not be walking in them. Or, man, I could find those promises and I could believe those promises and I could confess those promises and I could live those promises, every blasted one of them. And see, that's who we have to be. What we've got to understand is that, and this isn't difficult. This isn't ethereal. This isn't mystical. Man, God's moving in our behalf, and what we have to do is just get in his flow. Man, for me, all ministry is, all marriage is, all raising kids is just getting the flow. Man, my kids, all their lives, they've heard, hey, that's not our flow. That's not how we do it. We don't know. We don't talk that way. We don't act that way. Man, that's inconsiderate or whatever it is. But in marriage, it's the same way. Man, I'm married to a woman. This is what I do usually when we're talking. And she'll say, well, Bill, do you have anything to say? Yes, I do. I got to think of it first. And I'm sure I could say it. But I just got to get in that flow, man. And see, that's what this is. This is us getting in that flow spiritually where eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into our hearts. I don't know how you can just sit through idly and just sit on your hands and hear this and not just be going crazy. This is like this, that you've got the winning run at the plate, you got the tying run at third base, and you're just hoping the guy puts the ball into play. But no, you know what? Man, that pitch is grooved right down the center of the plate, and that batter, man, comes off his back foot and throws his hips and his hands through, and bam, that ball is launched and it's in the air. And you know what? You're at that ball game. Are you gonna sit like you're sitting right now? I'm not. I'm going to be looking at my opponent, laughing at him. I'm going to be cheering my guy. Go, go, go. And it's like, you're like this. I need somebody with the crack of the bat. Okay, when I swing, you give me the crack of the bat. Okay, ready? Go. It's kind of a wiffle ball game we're playing here. But bang, that ball's hit. Man, you're coming out of your chair. You're like, yeah, go, 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 yes. And you're screaming to you, man, why you won. Well, let me tell you, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man the great things that God has for those who simply put him first. Man, you want to be strong in the Lord? We've just got to put him first. And I'm going to tell you how to do that today. The Bible says in the time that Uzziah, in the time of Zechariah, you know what it says? That as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. Number one, you got to find your secret place. You got to find that secret place, just you and God, where you're just all real. You got to find that secret place where it's like, God, here's what your promise is, but here's what my life is. Now, God, we got to come together. And trust me, God's not gonna have to wiggle toward you. He's gonna find you. Nothing can snatch you out of his hands. Man, you take a glance, you start leaning toward God, he comes into your life. And you gotta find that secret place. This is how you refresh your approach. All this move of God is in your life is you refreshing your approach to life. I played golf yesterday in a little tournament, and there's this guy that had open heart surgery in January. Who it's his first time he played since last August, and he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force, and then he's a retired captain for American Airlines, and he kept hitting the ball left. He's pulling everything left, and it's going way left. And he's my teammate, man. I'm wanting him to do good because his score counts toward my score, just like yours does. Okay. And so he keeps pulling that thing left. He's like, I haven't played since August. You know, doctor caught that widowmaker and fixed it. Me, you know, he's talking, he's telling me the story. It's fascinating. It's great. You know, it's like, okay, just hit the dadgum fairway. How about that? Okay. And so anyway, finally we get on like 14. He pulls that thing left. He goes, what? He turns to me. He goes, what do I do? I said, how about you quit aiming left? And he goes, I am not aimed left. And I said, don't move your feet. Now watch. Put your club down. He put his club down. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm just hitting it left. I'm not pulling it left, am I? I said, I don't know what you're doing, okay? I got to take care of my own game. I'm just saying. He gets up to the next tee box. He goes, how do I look here? I said, you're going left. He goes, how do I look here? It looks great. He hit the middle of the fairway. He goes, oh my gosh, I hit the fairway. I'm like, oh my gosh. And but for some of you guys in your life, I'm just telling you that you just got to find a better target. And you got to find that secret place. And what that secret place is going to do is going to help you find that better target, retarget your life. What that secret place is going to do, it's going to put you in a place where you're praying more. You increase your prayer. And as you increase your prayer, listen, in time and intensity, man, see, it's not just, well, it's just, man, let me just tell you, in my secret place, my prayer is pretty passionate. I'm emotional in that secret place with me and God. I am. Man, God, as emotional as God was when he had to turn his face for his son Jesus to give his life, I'm telling you, I don't reach that kind of emotional, but I'm pretty emotional when I'm in that secret place with God, when I'm praying for Sandy and I'm praying for this church, I'm praying for my children. Man, I'm praying for my son. And I remember years ago, it's like, God, give me the right communication. God, help me speak their language to my kids. God, that there be a connection in our lives. And I'm just telling you, man, that connection's always been there with me and my kids, with Sandy and our kids. It's interesting because, man, Sandy and I did that marriage assessment, that prepare and enrich, and man, and Dave and Lori administered it for us, and it was a few years ago, and they said it was just amazing, the scores. And it's like, well, yeah, but you know something, man, Sandy and I have a lot of communication. There's a lot of dialogue. There's some of it's pretty fervent. Some of it reaches pretty heated, but guess what, man? We're there and we're connected, and that's huge. That's what that gives us, that time in prayer where it's time and intensity, man. That you're passionate about it. I mean, do you love God? And my question, because you're like, yes, I love him. It's like, okay, how much? How much? Because if Jesus appears to you and says, do you love me? You're gonna answer yes, whether it's the same kind of love as he's talking about or not. And he's gonna tell you the same thing that he told Simon Peter. Feed my sheep, tend to my flock, feed my lambs. Man, take care of things. You know what? You know all that distribution center is Jesus saying, hey, Guts Church, do you love me? That's all that is. And we're like, yes, Lord. He's like, okay, tend to my sheep, feed my lambs. Man, those shoes that you're wearing next week, that you're leaving barefoot next week, you know what? Man, they're gonna change somebody's life. There's people talking right now in our community saying, hey, Guts gives away shoes on Fridays. We ought to go. Well, you know, something you'll say, well, wait a second, are they scamming? I don't care what they're doing. Hey, hold it. Most of you guys in here were scamming anyway. Don't be pointing any fingers at other people doing it. You know what it does? Gets them on our property. We play a home game. You know what that is? What we do at home? We win at home. We protect this house, man. We take care of things here. So the first thing is what? Find your secret place. The second thing is make God's word bigger. Make his word big in your life. And I'll tell you, you're gonna have to make yourself, because your situation and your enemies, your stuff keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, your debt, you're like, I owe how much? It's gonna be how long to pay that truck off? I've gotta do what? Oh my gosh. What's up with my 401k? Shoot, I got a 401d now. The K has shrunk up. See, we gotta look at our lives and say, man, we gotta get stronger. How do we get stronger? We gotta make God's word big in our lives. You know, the Bible says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. God says, oh, magnify God with thanksgiving. Man, that we've gotta just get in a thankful place and just make his word bigger in our lives and let the word of God be bigger than the issues that we face. Man, how many of you guys are facing something right now? You know what? You deal with it emotionally, it'll just be slapping you around, won't it? Mark, you deal with life emotionally right now, it's too hard to bear, isn't it? Man, it's difficult, it's hard. You deal with life, you let God's word get bigger. You know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And you got to get passionate about it, that secret place. And then you make his word bigger. And then the third thing is you have to have the right people. And this is huge. The right people. Man, the people in your life that you can trust. Man, people with godly wisdom. Man, you got to find those people and you got to get with those people. And here's what you have to do, and quit playing the dadgum little Christian game. Quit it. You've got to get real. You've got to have fearless conversations. You've got to be able to drop your shield, strip your armor, and get real. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I've been doing. Here's how I've been thinking. Here's how I'm trying to deal with things. And you know what? Man, what God's word does not say is when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it. It does not say that. It's all about rescue. Do you understand that? The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You guys ever heard that? That's like, work out your own rescue with fear and trembling. Your own deliverance with fear and trembling. I'll tell you what, the right people, let me just tell you how this works. There's a man here in this church, and this isn't gonna be one of those hooting and hollering. This is kind of gonna be a backhand for you, okay? But there's a man in this church that years ago, it's probably been, 18 or 19 years ago, we were on television. We were on the Fox affiliate was relatively new in town, and the general manager got saved at one of our services. And he gave us airtime on Fox for like $300 or $400 or $500 a week, 12:30 on Friday nights. And I thought, oh, it'd be cool. Let's just see what we can do. And back then, nothing was digital, okay? I don't know if there was a term digital back then, okay? But it was live to tape to air. I'm telling you, it was guts. It was real. And I mean, they'd have a flashlight in the sound booth back at our old building, and they'd flash that flashlight at me when I had to tie it up because it had to be 23 minutes long because we had an intro, 23 minutes of message, and an exit. And some of you guys might have seen those shows. It was just Guts Church is all it was. And man, incredible ratings. People watched it, and it was, I mean, I'd be preaching and one of the lights would burn out and this side of the stage would go dark. I'd have to preach over on this side of the stage and the camera angle was out of focus. It was just crazy. But you know what? God used it. And it was amazing. But there was a man in this church, his wife kept watching it at 12:30 on Friday nights. And he got mad about it because he's a drunk, he's a partier. He's a big, tough guy though. I mean, he's a rough guy. And a hard-working guy, good guy, but just rough around the edges. And his wife kept trying to get him to watch this show. So finally, he found out it was that we had Sunday night services at 7 o'clock. So he was going to come to church and whip me because he got tired of his wife bugging him about coming to church and watching that show. But he came late that night. It's a Sunday night. He came about 8 o'clock, and he comes walking in the door. I never saw him. At the same time that I released people, I said, okay, if you raise your hand, you want to give your life to the Lord, come forward now. Well, he mixed in with all those people, and he ended up answering the altar call. And he got saved. And the next week he came back and he said, hey, I was going to come here and just kick your ass. I was going to wear you out, man, because I'm so tired. But man, now I'm a Christian. Now I love you, man. He gave me a big hug. He said, man, I was going to whip you, but now I don't want him with you. Man, what can I do? And he was here for 8 or 10 years, went through the training, was just incredible stuff going on his life. Probably in the top 3 or 4, he was a soul winner like T.L. Osborne. He was a soul winner like Steve Hunter would have been when he was here. And guys, but this guy was just a phenomenal soul winner, just shocking how strong he was. And man, he started a new business, and man, he was flourishing in that business. And one day he's driving down Admiral between the 169 and Memorial, and he drove by one of his old haunts, and he's just driving by, and the next thing you know, he's thinking, oh my gosh. And he looks at this bar he used to go to 10 years before that. He goes, man, I ought to go in there and see what's going on. He went in there that night, he smoked crack. He came back to see us, and it's like, he's like, oh my gosh, here's what I did. And he kind of poured his heart out. He talked to Roger, and he repented. And it's like, I'm so sorry, and man, God forgive me, and God forgave him. And then the next few years, he was in and out of the faith. He was in and out of drugs, and it just was wrecking him. And then finally, a few years later, just took his own life. I'm telling you, you get around the wrong people. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. You get around you get around the wrong people, you're gonna be doing wrong stuff. Get around the right people, people that have godly wisdom that you trust. Man, you could be as strong as you wanna be. Do you hear me? You can. It isn't like you have a capacity. Man, you could be as big in God as you wanna be. You just have to find that secret place, and you got to meet with your God all the time. You know, one of the most neglected promises in God's word is James in the first chapter in the 5th verse, and he said, any of you who lack wisdom, let him go to God and ask of him, and he'll give it to you liberally and without reproach. Verse 6 says, but ask in faith. Man, how many things in life you hit, it's like, bam, you get to that intersection, you're like, I don't know what to do. What do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Man, I'll tell you what, man, I got to a place with the DC, just purchasing that building. And it's like, no, it was a brick wall. And finally I thought, you know what? I'm sure I'm going to keep hitting that brick wall. And I just went to God. And man, next thing you know, I've got another plan. And I called one of my guys. He said, that's genius. He said, man, that's a better deal than buying it. So I went and offered it to him. And you know what? I think they're going to take it. But you know what I had to do? I had to go to God and say, God, I need wisdom on this deal. God, you know what I definitely don't know. You see what I don't see. And God, I want the best deal for this church, and I don't want to come to a place in 6 months or a year and us be out of space and cramping what you want to do. Because the 10,000 bags of groceries we're going to give away June the 6th down at One Oak? Do you understand that we're also going to give bicycles to every kid? We're going to give shoes and toys and tools and medical and dental help. And we're gonna have lawyers there to help answer people's questions legally. Man, we're just gonna help people. We want it to be the biggest day of giving in the history of Tulsa. But this bike thing is on me. And I'll tell you why. When I was a kid, I rode bikes every single day. Every day, it's how we got around. We'd ride our bikes looking for pop bottles. And we get enough pop bottles, get a Snickers bar and a Dr. Pepper, a Snickers bar and a Coke, or a Snickers bar and a grape knee high, or a Snickers. And it was just like that. Every single day, what are you gonna do? Man, we're gonna go look for pop bottles. Why? Because at some point, I'm gonna be hungry. And so that's what we did. We're riding our bikes around. We'd ride from ball game to the convenience store. We called them confectionaries back then. But anyway, there was one time I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I always hung out with boys that were older than me. They were probably 3 or 4 years older than me. And one of my best friends was Bobby Schrader. He was one of the fastest kids in town. Lived in a town of 40 or 50,000 people, one of the fastest kids. And he had a bike that was really fast too. It was a big bike. I had one of those little 20-inch wheel bikes, you know, little Stingray kind of bikes, had the cool ape hangers on them. We didn't call them ape hangers back then. They were just big, and a big banana seat. And I'm riding in my bike, and I'd have to pedal like this. Man, he'd just be pedaling like this and just flying by me. One day, he let me ride his bike. And we're at Citizens Park. And Citizens Park had this, like, one-mile loop around the park. And there's a big ball field. There's tennis courts. There's all kinds of stuff. And they didn't let us on those things. Those were for special people. But we'd get on there and we'd drive around that park, and the park had tar and gravel roads. You guys, anybody remember those? And tar and gravel roads. You'd still remember the dirt roads, don't you? But old ball guy in the front row, I remember that tar and gravel. But anyway, at the bottom of the hill, at the back corner of this big loop, there's this huge hill, and it was like an eighth to a quarter of a mile long, and it was real steep. And we're riding, and I remember riding, we're racing around that, you know, and guy's got his watch, look at it like this. We're going around that mile, and I'm on Bobby's bike. Big, huge bike, fast bike. And I'm riding, I'm flying, I'm thinking, I'm gonna get to that corner, and then I'm gonna get to that hill. And I'm like 8 years old, little guy. And I'm thinking, man, I get there, I'm gonna fly down that hill, man. I'm gonna win this race. I'm gonna have the fastest time. I'm gonna be the best. This is gonna be amazing. And I get to that hill, and I start going down that hill. And I'm going like 90 miles an hour. And at the bottom of that hill, there's all that loose gravel from that tar and gravel road, you know, at the bottom of that hill, all that gravel. And I'm looking at that gravel thinking, this is gonna be awesome. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna hit the brakes, and I'm gonna turn the wheel, and we call it fishtailing now. I don't know what, I didn't call it fishtailing then. I didn't know what fishtailing was, but we were gonna fishtail. We're just gonna slide around, and I'm gonna throw gravel at all those guys. This is gonna be awesome. So I'm going 90 miles an hour down this hill, and I'm riding this bike, and I get to the bottom of the hill, and I hit that brake like it's nobody's business. I turned that bike, gravel flew everywhere. All these kids are running to get out of the way. They're screaming for their mama. And the next thing you know, I'm going over a culvert, and my back hits the railroad tracks. I wanna give kids that kind of opportunity. We're giving them all a bike. We're giving bikes away. Don't be jacking with me. Man, let's make a difference. Is there a dream in your heart? Man, let's build that dream. I got a dream to give kids bikes now. I want to get a big old hill and put some gravel at the bottom of it. I got a dream. I want some kid to live that dream. What's in your heart? How strong do you want to be? I say we be strong. I say we be who God's called us to be.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.